Now I should be joined on the line by David. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Hope you're keeping well. Now, David, we're going to talk this morning about your son, Bear. Tell us the story.
Yeah, so basically, Debbie, Bear's my son. He's 8 years old. Now, at birth, he suffered a stroke, causing quite an extensive brain injury. So that resulted in him having cerebral palsy, as well as other medical issues. So he cannot walk, he only has the use of one arm. So with this, he's got severe reduced mobility and he uses a powered wheelchair to assist him to get around. So that's great, it gives him a bit of independence. Mm. But with that, unfortunately, we find ourselves in the position that we cannot find a vehicle suitable to accommodate him and his wheelchair. We need a customised vehicle, basically.
So bring us back, David, to that day. Should have been the it is the happiest day of your life. But it must have been such, you know, a shock to you when your baby suffered a stroke. Like, how did you deal with that? You know, on that day, was it true childbirth that he suffered a stroke, or was he a few days old?
No, it was basically first of all, Bear was 10 days over. There was no complications during pregnancy whatsoever. Stroke happened during or immediately after the birth, although this wasn't discovered until his various MRIs and CT scans at about 8 months old. Now, in the days following birth, Bear was having what we now know as multiple seizures.
Oh, God, love him.
Now, these were brought to the attention of the attending staff. But we were basically ignored and dismissed. And as new parents at the time, we trusted their opinion. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, these are trained professionals. But we now know that these were epileptic seizures, because he has epilepsy as well. And then about 8 months old, he was diagnosed with the cerebral palsy. Now, myself and my wife, we did have an inkling from the time he was born something wasn't quite right. And even up to the time of his MRI, although it was a shock when we were told at 8 months old that he had cerebral palsy, it wasn't a complete surprise. We did our research. We kind of knew that things weren't right. So when we were told that, obviously it was a shock, but we weren't surprised. And again with that, you know, no one, they gave you your diagnosis and kind of off you go. No one could tell us the extent of his disability. We were told it was constantly evolving, so we didn't know how the condition would affect him and what needs he might have as he got older.
So you were kind of left to cope with this on your own?
Yeah, we were kind of left in the dark, and I mean, it's been a huge learning curve. He's 8 years old now, but again, you know, every day is a challenge. You're faced with something, a struggle every day, basically. You know, because he requires 24-hour care, and as he grows older, those needs change constantly.
And is Bear your first child or your only child?
Yeah, he's our only child, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. And that's so hard. Like, it's so frustrating as well to know, you know yourself. And I always say that, you know, parents have that. They have it in that they know when there's something not right with their own child. They say a mother's instinct, a father's instinct, you know. And it must have been quite frustrating on you at the beginning when people weren't kind of listening to you and you knew there was something wasn't just quite right.
Yeah, it was very frustrating. As I said, in the days following birth, like, he was kept in for about a week, and because he wasn't feeding and stuff like that, and we knew there was something not right. And as I said, he was having these multiple seizures, and as I said, it was brought to the attention of the staff, but you know, we were kind of dismissed as, oh no, that's okay, whatever. And even, you know, his 3 week check, a 6 week check, we brought our concerns to the, you know, attending doctors and stuff, and they were just, oh no, don't be silly, he's fine. But we knew.
You knew yourself.
And it was only, as I said, around 7-8 months, someone kind of took us seriously and said, no, we'll send them for these tests and scans and whatever. And, you know, it turned out it was a very extensive brain injury Bear suffered, and it wasn't picked up on. But again, look, that's in hindsight. Our priority at the moment is to look after Bear. and his mates.
Okay, so you come home with Bear and you're kind of left to... Did you get any help? Was there any ongoing help when he was a baby for you to number the phone or people calling out to give you a hand or to advise you on what to do?
No, essentially no. I mean, even when he was diagnosed, you know, he was coming up to a year old, we were told, oh, there were services for this, services for that. But, I mean, every day, you know, for the last 8 years, it's been a constant battle just to get basic services. And we're not alone, Debbie. I mean, parents of children with disabilities have to fight every day just to access even basic services. Like, he does attend therapies, you know, physio, he gets occupational therapy, he gets speech and language therapy. He's currently on the waiting list for an ASD assessment, which we were told this could take another couple of years, which that was 2 years ago.
My God.
I mean, you know, people think that there is services out there, and there is. Like, he has got some basic services, but he hasn't got enough. I mean, in the last 8 years, we've probably seen... I mean, he hasn't had any physio, and I know because of COVID, but even since COVID, the restrictions have been lifted. He hasn't had any physio, and it's going on near 2 years. Now, we do it all at home. Mm. Luckily, he's homeschooled, so we incorporate his daily therapies and that into his school day at home.
But and was that true choice, David, that you're homeschooling them? Or you
know? It is true choice, but also, I mean, it you know... Now it's almost out of necessity too, although it is out of choice, don't get me wrong. But I do know that if he was in school, we wouldn't be able to manage his therapies because, as I say, we do them ourselves at home.
Yeah.
And if he was in school, like, we wouldn't have the time, or he wouldn't have the time to receive these therapies. As I said, we incorporate them into his daily routine. So, you know, that's another thing.
You mentioned, you know, David, ASP. What is that?
It's sorry, it's the autism spectrum.
Okay, so he's waiting to be to see about that. Why is it? I've been hearing so many over the years the waiting list for speech therapy for, like you're saying, ASP. Why is everything taking so long when it's our children? You know, I mean, your wayside. You know, speech therapy. The list is over 2 years. Like, how is a child supposed to develop? And with Bear's conditions, like, they need to be seen to, you know, quick enough and helped. And as you said, you're doing the physio on him. He should be getting physio done, you know, by the specialists. You know, he should be cared for. And it's very frustrating. It must be so frustrating on you. Like, taking care of an ill child, a chronically ill child, is one of the most draining and difficult tasks a parent can face. So beyond all that as well, it's his physical challenges. And then you have to the medical and then deal with the emotional needs for him as well. Like, what help are you getting on a day-to-day basis, if any?
On a day-to-day basis, we're basically getting nothing. I mean, he has an occupational therapist, and the only thing and the only time we've seen them is to do with his wheelchair. So that's the only thing that we got help with eventually after a lot of fighting and battling with the HSC. In terms of the other therapies, they're basically non-existent. And look, we've had 8 years of these struggles. So I mean, as parents of children will know, they're the best therapists themselves, the parents. So we're lucky we know what we're doing now after 8 years. You know, because we've had to. You know, it was a very steep learning curve. But, you know, the services are dreadful. And, I mean, as I said, he requires 24-hour care. He's got cognitive issues as well as the physical issues. Due to his physical mobility issues, obviously, he needs help getting around. He needs help with feeding. He needs help with toileting. He needs help with getting in and out of bed. He needs constant monitoring due to his epilepsy. We've cameras all set up at night time. Now, luckily, he's got wonderful team at neurology in Temple Street Hospital. And his neurology team there are fantastic. And since day one when he was diagnosed, so for the last, you know, seven and a half years, he's been going to neurology in Temple Street constantly and being monitored for his epilepsy. And I can't say enough about them. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, the services are non-existent, basically. He's in pain most of the time due to his condition, but also he's got mild scoliosis. Right. So this contributes to this. Now, he does a regular x-rays in Drogheda Hospital for that. But again, we're on the waiting list now to see a specialist to do that for orthopaedics. So, you know, it's just never-ending, really.
So your whole life has changed, David, in the 8 years. I presume either you or your partner or your wife had to give up work to look after Bear.
Yeah, the two of us actually, the two of us are full-time carers at the moment for Bear, because he needs the two of us, you know, because as I said, he's bigger now. And it's just because of the constant monitoring, and he's a lot of sensory issues. There's a lot going on, you know, because cerebral palsy is it's a very wide umbrella term, really, for a brain injury. And no two cases are the same. In fact, no two brain injuries are the same anyway.
No.
But because of the issue, it does take the two of us. Like, even, you know, as I said, it's no good just one of us being at home, so that he needs the two of us. So, yeah, sure, our lives have changed, but, like, don't get me wrong, he's amazing. We love him so much. He's a brilliant kid, and he's full of life. But, you know, it is a struggle, especially when, apart from the 24-hour care, you know, that's standard. You know, you're looking after your child, but it's every day you have to put your war paint on, because you're going to be faced with a challenge, whether it's phone calls, emails to various departments, just trying to get things, basic services, basically, for your child.
Basic needs for your son, I know. So, you're saying Bear is 8 now, and he is getting bigger, and he will continue to get bigger. So it's going to get kind of harder for you as well, you know, to physically lift and, you know, move around. Now, you said why we're on today really is to talk about he no longer uses the manual wheelchair and has to upgrade to a powered wheelchair to get around. And he said it's heavy and bulky, but he'll need to get an adapted wheelchair accessible for your vehicle. And this is, you're not getting any funding, or you're not getting this from the government.
No. There's no support in regards getting a customised or a wheelchair-adapted vehicle. There used to be a motorised transport grant, and there used to be a mobility allowance, and it basically was to help people in rural areas, which is where we are, to help them get around, because there's no public transport, you know, nearest. Mm. Like, we're nearly 80 kilometres outside Dublin, and we're, you know, 15 kilometres from the nearest town. Now, that was scrapped in 2013, and there has been no scheme devised since. They said they were going to devise a new scheme to help people out, but again, you know, it's just been kicked down the road since 2013. So with this, I mean, these custom modifications on a vehicle are really, really expensive, as they have to be designed specifically for Bear and his the dimensions of his wheelchair. So, you know, lowered floors, ramps, winches, tie-downs, all these kind of safety features, as well as comfort, because, as I said, Bear's in pain constantly. So, due to the nature of his disability, we need a big van that's customised. And this is hugely expensive. And as you said, there's no support whatsoever, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any funding in the future for it.
And as you said, you are quite remote. You're in Kells in County Meath, and you're a good bit away from the hospitals. If you didn't have a car, how would you get Bear into his appointments?
Well, the simple answer is we can't. You know, we have a regular vehicle at the moment, and we were lucky in that his manual chair, which he had previously, was just about able to fit in. But now with this powered wheelchair, it's very heavy, bulky, and it needs to be tied down properly and securely to transport him, and that doesn't fit. So I don't know. I mean, as I said, we live rurally. We're about 15 kilometres outside Kells. We're literally in the middle of nowhere. So, I mean, public transport isn't an option. And I mean, a taxi, if we could get a proper, not just a wheelchair-accessible taxi, but a proper taxi, a big one that would take his chair, that's all well and good. But going, you know, into hospital, which is 80 kilometres away. I mean, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't like to.
How much
would
that cost? Yeah. And as you said, you're both carers for Bear, so you aren't, you know, earning an awful lot of money. So you would not be able to afford that, getting taxis in and out. I mean, that wouldn't be an option. I can't, I really can't believe that you get no help at all. It's a bloody disgrace, really. You know, you have a child there that needs to go for hospital appointments. He needs that. That's it's right to be treated. And getting no help at all. I really thought there was some help out there when, you know, as you're getting a little bit older and you need a bigger wheelchair and bigger transport to bring you. I mean, what other way is he going to get there if he's not getting any help at all?
I don't know, Debbie. I mean, as I said, it with the hospital appointments, it looks like we're probably going to have to ring an ambulance. And, I mean, the cost to the HSC for us to ring an ambulance to bring him to a hospital appointment is ridiculous. As I said, there's no help at all with the funding. That scheme is scrapped. I have been on to a number of ministers in a number of departments about this, and we're just being passed from pillar to post. The Department of the Minister for Disabilities, Anne Rabbitt, she hasn't even got back to me, but she did pass it on to the Department of Justice because she said it's an equality issue. The Department of Justice has passed it on to the Department of Health. I got an email from the Department of Health to say, no, this is the Department of Children for Roderick O'Gorman's office. I haven't heard back from them. We're constantly being passed around and passed around. And, you know, there's no help. And even in regards to taxis, I mean, a taxi can get 7,000 euros off adapting their vehicles.
Yeah, it's
but
just...
yet, yeah. You know, parents or other people with disabilities can't get anything. It's just so frustrating, and I don't understand it, to be honest with you.
I can't understand. I think it's a bloody disgrace. I'm not saying... We've gone through COVID, okay? There was money appeared for people, you know, the COVID payment. Everyone was getting that, like they could get money for that. But when you see it, there's a child here that needs to get to hospital appointments, that needs to have some sort of life, you're in a remote area, there's no public transport and you're not getting any help. It just seems a bloody disgrace. It really, really does. So you've had to go and set up a GoFundMe page to try and get help to get Bear this wheelchair and transport to try and get him to have some sort of life and to get him to his hospital appointments.
Yeah, we've had to set up a GoFundMe page to basically to help us obtain such a vehicle, as otherwise Bear will be stuck at home. Like, we've been essentially in lockdown. We were self-isolating since March 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Bear had an appointment which we managed to get him to last August. Now, since then, we've been stuck in. And now with the restrictions opening up again, we're going to be still stuck in because we've no way of getting him out. You know, and it's, you know, as well as attending his hospital appointments, he sees, you know, consultants in Temple Street and also in Drogheda. But it's also just he hasn't seen his grandparents in over a year. It's basically, you know, to do anything, to go on a day trip, we can't do anything. So even for his mental well-being, it's no good, because we're lucky we have a garden that he can go out in his chair and get a bit of fresh air. But he doesn't see anybody, and we literally can't get anywhere. We'll be stuck at home without this. And setting up the GoFundMe page was a struggle, to be honest with you, Debbie, because, you know, not just, you know... people are in financial straits as it is due to the COVID pandemic and just, you know, through general life. But asking for money is just something that doesn't sit right with us. But we've no other choice. Even sharing Bear's story, you know, getting him out in the public eye was another thing that we struggled with. But again, it was an act of desperation, really, setting up this page, because we've really no other choice.
Mm-hmm. And if people are listening today and they want to help you out, can you give out the details of it?
Yeah, so you can just Google search GoFundMe and type in Help Bear Get Mobility Transport. Okay. So you can either go onto the GoFundMe website itself and type in Help Bear Get Mobility Transport, or you can just literally type into Google GoFundMe help Bear get mobility transport.
And how is that going?
It's going great. We're so overwhelmed with the response so far. People have been so generous and so kind. And as of this morning, it was just about €10,000, which is fantastic. Excuse me. Now, we're looking for 60, which is a crazy amount of money. But unfortunately, we've done all our homework and we've had contact with the people who do the customizations. And you're looking at, you know, for longevity and for future proof, because, you know, as Bear gets older, his wheelchairs are going to become bigger and bigger. We need that kind of money. So, I mean, as I said, people have been so generous and kind, especially in these times. Like, people are struggling financially at the best of times, but we're so inundated with kindness and the support and, you know, even people like yourself, you know, sharing Bear's story. It's fantastic. It really is.
It's good to get it out there, but it's something you shouldn't have to be doing, really. You know, you should be getting the support from the government, your TDs. Just keep getting onto your TDs and asking for the help. It's a disgrace that you have to go through this. It's hard enough, as you said, your full-time care for Bear and your wife, and then, you know, all this on top of it as well. So your daily routine is in the house, the three of you all the time. I mean, that must be quite hard as well on your mental health.
I suppose it is, Debbie, especially now not being able to go out. I mean, like pre-COVID, we were used to it and it was fine. We had our kind of daily routine built up, you know, with the schooling, with the therapies, and just with having fun. And then, you know, if it was a nice day, you know, we're coming into the summer now, we were able to go out, you know, to go to a park or, you know, go for a picnic, visit his aunt, visit his grandparents. We could do things like that, even go to the likes of Tato Park.
Yeah.
He loves that, just weaving around there.
Yeah.
But, it's been a long time since we've been able to do that, and I suppose it does take a lot out of your mental health. I haven't really stopped to think about it, because I suppose if I did, you know, that wouldn't be so good.
And do you get any respite at all?
No.
I don't know what to say, David. I just think it's a disgrace that you have to come on and do this. You know, it should be given. It's his rights to be able to get out there, to be able to see life, to go, as you said, to a park, to his hospital appointments. That's necessity.
Yeah.
So why should you have to be coming on here doing all this? But you have it up there anyway, and you're doing great. But you still need an awful lot more money to get this up and running. So just before I let you go, will you give out those contact details once more?
Yeah, sure, Debbie. So you can find it on GoFundMe, Help Bear Get Mobility Transport.
Great. And maybe you'll come on in a few months' time and tell us how it's doing and how he's getting on.
I'd love that. I'd love to be able to tell you a different story.
Hopefully,
but I keep plugging away with the ministers. But I've about 50 or 60 generic replies that I've been getting for months. But sure, anyway.
Well, just keep fighting that fight and you'll get it in the end. Hopefully you will anyway. But it's horrible to be passed from pillar to post and passing this on. And that's so frustrating. It really is. But good luck with that, and hopefully the GoFundMe page will get a lot more money, and hopefully you'll get some help eventually from the government.
Thanks so much, Debbie, for having me on.
Okay.
I really appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks a lot, David. Thank you.